This is the Recency Bias. Welcome to your morning after mini pod on this Monday morning. I'm Zach Van Oss, and we're following up Game 3 from the Bell Center between the Jets and Habs. The Montreal Canadiens had a chance to put this series in a serious stranglehold, and boy did they ever, with their best win of the playoffs so far, a decisive 5-1 win that left the Jets looking utterly disappointed, utterly beaten. I don't want to get out ahead of ourselves here. The series remains only 3-0. It is not officially won yet. Or even unofficially won. But it's in a good spot, and the Jets just look like they have no answers right now. A very frustrated team. Things got feisty between the two clubs. As the third period came to an end, the Habs are really putting themselves in an ideal position, and they'll go again tonight for Game 4. The Habs sitting on a chance to sweep. Do they want to sweep? Does that put you at a risk of being not ready for the next round? I don't think so with this team. This team has won me over in a lot of ways. Not winning non-Montreal fans over. A lot of complaints about what this team is doing, but who the hell cares about the rest of them? We're going to be enjoying this. Again, a 5-1 win on Sunday night. An early start, a 6 o'clock game for this one. And if you hear a lot of background noise, I've got the windows popped open in the attic as I do this one, because it's a hot one in Toronto today. So, you know, if you hear any weeping coming in off the streets, that's you'll understand. It's just the Leafs fans still trying to get over what happened to them in round one, and a lot of what they're trying to do is just bitch and moan about this Habs team as it makes it 3-0, and the on the brink of a Scotiabank North Division championship, the real trophy in all of sports, really, if you ask me. Stastny was back in the lineup for this one, so that should have been, hopefully, for the Jets' sake, a bit of help, but it didn't really prove to be. Stastny actually taking a couple penalties in this game, putting the Canadiens in a fortuitous position. That was the big change. Obviously, the Habs made no moves in their lineup for Game 3, and early on, the veteran line started to set that pace once again. Corey Perry, Yoel Armia, and Eric Staal. It's Corey Perry with his third of the playoffs. All the patience in the world, as we've seen so often throughout this season. God bless the Worm. What an incredible ad. What a playoff performer. 1-0 Canadiens. All thanks to Corey Perry's patience and his real sense for the net, as he beats Hellebuck, and the Habs have a lead yet again. They haven't trailed at any point in the last six games, and yeah, I think that's the way to play. That is, I'm no coaching genius, but that's the way to go, if you ask me. Habs showed no sense of sitting back early after that first goal from Corey Perry. They followed that up immediately with a good shift and a few more looks at the net. And 8 minutes in, the Deneau line creating pressure and draw the game's first power play. The Habs didn't make much of it, but it was just an indication that every shift, every line was going and pretty much taking some good work in the offensive zone, forcing the Jets back on their heels. Just 4 Winnipeg shots through the first 12 minutes of that period. However, on the fifth shot, Price came up with a big save. That's how it's been going all series, and especially how Game 3 went for the Canadiens. They frustrate the Jets, they wait for their opportunities. Although in the first period they were certainly doing some pushing. And then, but you know, on the rare moments that they're making mistakes or bending in this series, Carey Price is just there to make the solid saves. And after one, it was 1-0 for the Habs. The shots were 10-7 in their favor. In the second period, it was Caulfield getting chances early, Hellebuck robbing him. Man, the kid's going to score at some point, and then I think they might not stop counting because he gets opportunities. He really does. It's fantastic to watch, and yeah, he had a huge assist in this game on a Suzuki power play goal that we'll get to in a minute, but just want him to finally beat one for the playoffs, and then it feels like it's all going to be unlocked for young Cole. Midway through the period, after Wheeler goes off the crossbar and celebrates as if he scored, Which is, I mean, I guess if you get one pass carry enough to go off the crossbar, that's a reason to celebrate. But Canadians turn that on its head immediately. The next shift, the Brendan Gallagher line goes on, gets a lot of digs with a very crowded crease. The Jets defensemen just kind of let it happen, to be honest. The Jets defense was a big question coming into this series. Could they hold up? It was certainly the Jets' weakness, and it has been apparent and was especially apparent in Game 3. That play especially as well. Lekkonen makes it 2-0. Lekkonen, of course, getting back in the lineup with Evans going down after that Game 1 Mark Scheifele hit, and he makes it count. Just great play by Lekkonen all Game 3. He's, it's certainly disappointing to lose Evans for however long that he's going to be out, but Lekkonen proving himself really competent and stepping in and replacing him. And here we go, getting himself a goal in a big Game 3. Hellebuyck really having to do some impressive tending to keep it 2-0, too, against the Suzuki line. They were doing all kinds of work. Suzuki, every time, if you think that the Suzuki line is in the offensive zone and it looks like they might be about to lose possession, one of those kids picks it up again, or Tyler Toffoli, but usually it's Caulfield or Suzuki, and it's most of the time Suzuki doing some good work to just keep the pressure going and eventually finding Caulfield. It's shocking that Toffoli is the third man on this line, the one you hear from the least. The kids have just been really finding some chemistry and making it happen. The Habs would take a too-many-men penalty with 7 minutes left in the period. That's about all that's going to get called these days, it seems, sometimes. And on the ensuing penalty kill, a 2-on-1, and it's Yoel Armia with a whole bunch of patience as well. Learning all about that patience, playing with Corey Perry, I guess. 3-0 Montreal. Stastny would take a power penalty on the goal as well, as the Canadiens scored the third shorthanded goal of the series, the second for Montreal. Yeah, 3-0, you got Carey Price back there, and you're thinking, okay, if we can get out of this period 3-0, this thing is over. Well, couldn't quite make that happen. Paul Byron would lose his helmet when he got a stick in the head. No call on the play, and that created an opportunity for the Jets to actually generate a little something. Got exactly what they needed to have any chance in this game, as Lowry scores to make it 3-1 on Winnipeg's just their 12th shot of the game. And after 40, it was 3-1. The shots were 16-6 for Montreal in the middle period. Overall shots, 26-13 for the Habs. And you kind of had to expect going into the third that there would be an onslaught, just an absolute onslaught from the Winnipeg Jets. And, well, yeah, sure, they came and definitely were putting more pressure on as it got going. Not anything that the Habs were sweating all that much. Desperate Jets team just remained kind of desperate. Did find out some bad news at the top of the third, though, that Petrie is out for the rest of the game. Still not sure what's going to go on there. Hopefully he can be back in the lineup soon. Not so long after that news comes across, Weber gets high-sticked, and the power play goes to work. It's Caulfield to Suzuki with a beautiful pass. 4-1 Habs, and you had to be feeling good on Suzuki's fourth of the playoffs at that point. Suzuki has very much outplayed Pierre-Luc Dubois, who some people suggested we should trade Suzuki for in this series, and Pierre-Luc Dubois getting very frustrated soon after that Suzuki power play goal, as he takes a frustrated cross-checking penalty. Nothing really doing on the power play. The Habs were sitting on that 4-1 lead at that point. Not really want to take any risk on a power play. The rest of the way, things just got real feisty between the two in the final 6-plus minutes. The Jets would get a power play with about 5 minutes left. They'd pull Hellebuyck, and Armia would get his second shorthanded goal of the game, as it was 6-on-4, 5-1, Habs chicken wings for all. And the Habs win it by that same score. The Jets looking deflated. The Habs looking very confident in the way that they're playing right now. I don't know how much more there is really to say about Sunday night's action. The Canadiens just continue to play extremely competent, or in some people's idea, I'm sure, boring hockey right now, but it's working for them. Carey Price looks almost unbeatable. Anything that is at all playable for him, he's making a stop on it. The Canadiens are doing an excellent job of letting him see everything right now, and the Jets defense just isn't competitive enough with the Habs forwards. You know, for all the frustration I think the Leafs felt by the end of that series, their defense did a good job of not really letting the Habs set up much in the series, and that has not been the case with these Jets at all. Canadians have been able to find a lot of open space. The Suzuki-Caulfield line certainly finding tons of open space, and then the old man line, the fourth line, has just been awesome. Armia, Perry, and Staal. Every time you need an energy shift or a shift where you think, okay, watch out, maybe the Jets could come back here, a little bit of pushback, you just realize, oh, the Canadians have got it hemmed back in the offensive zone again. And who is it? It's Perry, Staal, and Armia. And more often than not, they're actually creating a scoring chance, not just frustrating the Jets on trying to break out or hemming in the defense and not really doing anything. They're creating opportunities as well. I mean, Corey Perry obviously getting the scoring going in Game 3. So a stranglehold on the series, finish it out. Probably at this point in the series, I think it would be to the Habs' benefit that they're playing again immediately on Monday night. At first, I did not like that at all, but considering the way momentum feels like it's shifted at this point, the way the Jets just look absolutely flustered, come right back at them. Don't give them a day, or don't give them a day to think about it, figure it out, solve something, force it right back at them. They're in a tough spot, and now it's time to finish them. I know the Jets coming off of a sweep, it hurt them in the next round. Certainly, they haven't looked ready. They've also been without some players. Yes, the breaks have gone the Habs away, but the Habs have certainly taken advantage of all those breaks. And I wasn't sure that this Canadian team throughout the regular season was the kind of team that could take advantage of the breaks given to them. They've become something else in this playoffs. They've become what we were told they were, or could be at least. And yeah, what can I say? It is exactly as the team told us. They expected things to be come playoff time. The players who, all the scouts and the folks within the organization and the people pumping the tires said, no, we believe these guys will be ready come playoffs. This is what they're made for. And maybe the opponents have been a Leafs team that got in their own head and a Jets team that just isn't very good. Perhaps should the Habs get to that next round, the Colorado Avalanche, who are looking like absolutely the best team in the NHL right now, maybe they just pummel them. That could happen still. But for who they've had to face so far, the Canadians are who they said they were. And here they are. They can't let the Jets off the hook. All right, tomorrow morning, we'll do it again, hopefully celebrating a sweep. Always very tough to close out a series, though, so the Canadians cannot let off. They don't look like they're ready to let off. I will say that I have a feeling they'll bring that same focus again coming into Game 4. Once again at the Bell Center, once again with 2,500 people expected. It was nice to hear those olays on Sunday night, wasn't it? Olé, olé, olé. It's been a minute, and a great time to hear it again as the Canadians make it 3-0 in Round 2 of the playoffs. That's fun to say. Didn't think I'd be saying that on the podcast this season. All right, till next, take care.